they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Thank you, and you may be seated. It appears it's all over. It looked as though for them that their Messiah, their hope for the future, their promise of heaven, it looked as though everything was over now. What he had said must not be. Perhaps maybe they had missed it. He had died on the cross. Death was for sure. But they had forgotten the fact that Jesus told them that he would rise from the dead. They had forgotten the fact that Jesus always does what he says he will do. And the disciples who had left him, they missed out on this portion of Jesus' life. The faithful women had gone to his burial in this borrowed tomb that Joseph had carried him to. And though he had died, that was not the end. Thank God it wasn't the end. You see, this morning, Jesus is greater than death. You see, he destroys death. And we find in these verses three powerful proofs that tell us that Jesus destroyed death. And I want to show them to you this morning. Notice verse number 46. We see the very first proof is the nature of his death. The Bible said that in verse 46, and when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. I really believe the key is in that verse, he gave up. He gave up. You see, the truth of the matter is this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not killed by the Romans. The Jews did not sentence him, and truly the fact is that nobody is able to kill Jesus Christ. His life was not taken from him. While it's true they were the instruments of his death, but understand that Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the one that initiates all things. And therefore, you cannot take his life away from him. And we're reminded of the fact that he's the giver of life and he's also the controller of life. He holds all things together. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus, you have to understand this morning that Jesus did not, was life, he was not murdered or killed. He simply surrendered his life. He gave it up, the Bible says. His death occurred because he willed it to occur. He voluntarily surrendered his life. John 10 says it like this, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I received of my Father. That's why Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, what's interesting about this terminology, into thy hands I commit my spirit, it is suggested that in the Jewish world, in the ancient world, that this was the prayer of children at night. That when they would pray something to along this order where they would pray and say that as they go to sleep, they would trust God with their very being. And what Jesus was saying is that he was trusting God with his soul, with everything. And they understood that they were thinking in this line, that not only that they would go to bed at night, but they would rise in the morning. And let me tell you this, that Jesus, though he died 2,000 years ago on the cross, he rose that early morning. Thank God that he rose again. You see, here's what we have to understand. It's because of his resurrection that vindicates everything. We have to understand that. If there's no resurrection, there's no promise of heaven. There's no prayer for us. But the fact is that Jesus, yes, he did die on the cross. And here's what took place that morning, or that evening when he died. That afternoon, in the morning time, about 9 a.m., as they nailed him to the cross, what happened was all of mankind's sins was placed on him. Your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world was placed on Jesus. And the Bible said that there he hung between heaven and earth, suspended for 6 hours, bleeding and dying. At noon, from 9 to noon was daylight, but at noon, darkness covered the earth. And when darkness came, simply was saying the fact that all of mankind's sin now and the wrath of God was placed on Jesus Christ. They took him off the cross. They took him just not too far to a borrowed tomb. We know that if we were to go to Israel today, you could go to that place. I happen to believe it's the Garden Tomb, just outside the city. They went from Skull Hill to the Garden Tomb, and there they placed Jesus, and they rolled the stone over that opening to seal that tomb. And the Bible said that he voluntarily gave up his life. And I want to tell you this today, that I thank God that if I'm looking for hope, that I'm not putting my hope in something that cannot take care of himself or anybody else. I'm looking for one that can take care of everything. So the nature of his death proves the fact that he is greater than death. But then I want you to notice the second proof I find here. It's found in verse number 47. The Bible said, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. The reason why I know that is, secondly, is because of the power of his witness. You see, when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, the centurion, who was the one that was responsible for his death, recognized the fact that there was something about him that was totally unique. And I believe that it brought great conviction to him as he saw him dying on the cross. You see, he carried that burden, and he saw the burden that Jesus had, and it touched his life. And see, what I really believe that happened is this man admitted to the fact that Jesus did die for all of mankind's sin. That's why I said this man is an innocent man. This man certainly did not die for his own sin. He died for the sins of the whole world. He was a righteous man. I'm going to tell you this. Jesus was not merely a man. He was the God-man. I want to remind you of this, the fact that Jesus Christ, not only was he the God-man, but he was the perfect Son of God. He was the one that left heaven's glory, that came to earth for a purpose, and that's to die for our sins. But then the Bible said that he brought glorification. Now, there's a debate whether this man was a believer or not, but one thing is certain, that the Bible said that through what he said, his witness of seeing Jesus, harmonizing with who Jesus is and the power, and perhaps maybe his faith in Jesus, the Bible said they brought glory and honor to God because of the message of the fact that Jesus truly is the Son of God. I said there were three proofs. The first proof we have to understand is the nature of Christ's death. It proves the fact that truly he was what he says he was. But then we also notice the fact that he can destroy, that he destroys death through that very fact, but secondly, through the power of his witness. But thirdly, we find in chapter 24, the vacancy of his tomb. Aren't you glad he vacated the tomb? I'm glad when those women came to anoint his body that early morning, that resurrection morning, when they came to anoint his body, he wasn't there. Thank God he wasn't there. You see, the truth of the matter is, death could not hold him. The women came and they followed the whole event all the way through, and they thought, now, you know, he's laid to rest. We're going to go anoint his body. But he was gone. The tomb was empty. You see, death cannot hold our Savior. You see, he holds the power of life and of death. The Bible said, now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You see, death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Thank God the grave couldn't keep him. No grave can hold our Savior. You know, you cannot put him in the grave and seal it up, and he cannot get out. Look, let me just tell you this. The reason why this stone was moved was not to let Jesus out. It was to let man see that he was gone. And thank God that he was gone. And thank God that he did rise again. You see, here's the gospel. The gospel is not just the fact that Jesus died, but that he was buried and that he literally rose out of the grave. Oh, listen, today, what is your hope in? If your hope is in anything other than the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, you will be disappointed. Jesus is the only hope. The only hope for our world is not a different president, if that's what you think, or a different leader, or whatever the case is. I'm going to tell you, the hope is in Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. And if your life is struggling and you're looking for some answers, the hope is in Jesus. Let me just tell you about him. You see, he's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Now that's my King. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a supreme promise in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. Now that's my King. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one who is able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and saves. He guards and guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He delivers the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My King is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. My King His office manifold, His promises sure. His life is matchless, His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting, His love never changes. His word is enough, His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you, but He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man can explain Him. You can't get Him out of your mind, and you can't get Him off your hands. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't put their testimony to agree, and Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. That's my King. He's always been and always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor, and there'll be no successor. There was nobody before Him, and there's nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord. That's my King. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The glory is all His. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through all with all of your evers, He's still the King. Amen and amen. And let me ask you this. Who are you hoping in? Who are you trusting in today? If you trust in anything else other than Jesus Christ, you're going to miss it. He's the only way. He offers hope for every one of us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that by believing in Him, putting our faith and trust in Him, He can make all the difference. Shall we pray? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around, please. Thank you for listening so carefully this morning. And again, we are honored to have you as a part of this service. But we would be remiss if we did not offer you the opportunity to know the same Savior that we know. The Bible says that by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ, that believing in our heart, putting our faith in Him, that's how we know Christ. It's not by being a member of a church. Calvary Baptist Church can't do any of those things. No church can do that. Only Jesus can do that. The resurrected Savior, only He's the one that can offer you hope. Only He's the one that can save your soul and take you to heaven. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around, please, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you're a church member. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. But do you know for sure? And if you don't know for sure, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I'm not here to embarrass you in any way, but I'd like to ask you to think very seriously about calling on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, a lot of people know that He died, and they kind of say, well, I know He died. But it's one thing to know that He died, but it's another thing to know that He's your personal Savior, that you personally call on Him. While our heads are bowed, let me ask Christians first and foremost. Thank you again for coming today as well. If you're here today and you know Christ as your personal Savior, you'd say, you know, just as you're preaching, I was thinking about how little I really know Him. You know, today I'd like to start a journey of knowing Him better. I want Him to be so much a priority in my life. Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. Will you pray for me? If that's the case, while our heads are bowed, would you lift up your hand and say, preacher, just pray for me. I'll be happy to do that. Would you let me? No one looking around, please. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Several hands. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Second question is this. I wonder how many in here today would say, you know, I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life when I've called on Jesus and I'm concerned about it. And preacher, if you're going to pray for Christians, and again, I don't want you to think we're here to embarrass you, because we're certainly not. We're here to help you. We really believe in our Savior. We know what He's done for us, and we want Him to do the same for you, because He will. He loves you. That's why He came. You would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I need Jesus as my Savior too. And I'm concerned about that. Will you pray for me? Is there someone like that would say, that's me. Pray for me. Is there someone? God's speaking to my heart. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Is there someone like that?